Yesterday, we had a wonderful opportunity as men, the signs men, to meet. Amen. And I met two men, and Pastor Dean mentioned them to them. So I'm staring at them. Toto and Chinito. And I know they didn't know I'm going to use their names. But I kept thinking, Toto and Chinito. I was sitting back there and thinking that. And I didn't think I was going to put it in my sermon. I said, I remember asking him yesterday. I said, oh, and I jokingly said, oh, Filipinos, we never have nicknames. Because Bill and June's over there going, so what is that? A nickname? I'm thinking most likely it's a nickname. So we think about names, and we think about the name Josiah. As I said a little while ago, it means healed by Yahweh. Healed by God. So if you turn to 2 Kings chapter 23, this is what we're going to be going through. King Josiah is reformed. We ask ourselves, who is this king? There's so many kings, who are they? As you turn to that, let me tell you a little bit about something about names. Of course, my name, people say Pastor Rick, but it's not Rick. Of course, a nickname from Richard. And my middle name was my mom's maiden name when I changed it. It was actually, does anybody know my middle name? No, that was my old middle name. My nieces are all, something? It's Tice. My middle name is Tice. You know what Tice's middle, of course, my son is Tice. His middle name is Josiah. Now, my mother-in-law and Emily got to pick the name Tice. I got to pick the middle. And I specifically wanted a Hebrew name, representing a biblical understanding. So I said, look, Emily, here's the name I want. How about Tice, Pekah, Pekahiah, Hakim, Joaz, Del Rosario? Well, you know, I mean, that beats Toto, huh? Right? Tice, please stand up, Mr. Pekah, Pekah, Pekahiah, Menahim, Joaz, Del Rosario. You know, there's meanings in the name. So I just simply settled with Josiah. Josiah, Rosario. And Josiah, and I'm telling you right now, is a wonderful king. He's a good king. Great king. He does one thing that's different than all the other kings. Hezekiah, we preached last week. Great king. Josiah. Bible. No other king does what he does. David, no other king does what he does. What does he do? What are you looking for? We're going to be seeing the things that he does. One other thing he does even better. And I hope and pray that you and I will see this. That we see that there's King David, King Solomon, Hezekiah. You see, wonderful kings appointed by God. One thing about Josiah. So let's go back a little bit and let's just kind of look at this diagram. As we see this diagram here, we've seen the nation of Israel as we've seen as a whole. It was a group at one time. Israel and Judah used to be one name. It used to be called Israel. Of course, you see the northern kingdom and southern kingdom. In the past, we've talked about, as we go through series from books to books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 2 Samuel. We're at. So for Moses, the next leader we have, these are leaders. Kings, leaders. You have Moses, who's a leader, the nation of Israel. But Moses said, my real leader is the monarch, which is God. Joshua says the same thing. Just a substitute leader. There's 14 judges, some good, some bad. We know them. There's Gideon, Samson. And the last one we see of the 14th is Samuel. Samuel was kind of like a judge, but also a prophet. God's speaking through him. And then where the problem comes up. Kings come in. First king that comes up after Samuel? Saul. And Saul, of course, is appointed by man, not by God. And God says, no, I don't want him. Let's have David. King David is a man after God's own heart. It is an absence. And from King David, who do we have? His son Solomon. This is where the books come up and come a little bit difficult. All these other kings. A variety of them. And when we read this, it becomes difficult. And I asked Edmund Danow if I could use it. We have a wonderful staff with Pastor G and I can say so every week. We get to read the Bible once a year, every year. It's wonderful. And there's a point where Ed is reading. All these Hebrew names come up. He's slowing down. He's stuttering and he's stopping. And there's a spirit of laughter that came into me. Not because I was laughing at him. Because it sounded like a whole different language. You know, I got that laugh. Cecil and I just started laughing. We don't want to laugh because we're looking at Pastor James. He's pretty serious. And me and Cecil are like, there's air coming out of your nose, right? Don't laugh, don't laugh, don't laugh. And we just start laughing. Because it's difficult, right? Not only the names are difficult, what are the meanings of the names? Who cares about all these names? And as you're reading through the Bible, it gets difficult and becomes tedious and we just stop. So as we look at the nations as they split from the north and south, and God's talking about the north side and the south side, he's talking to specifically 2 Kings. Here are the nations of Israel. And you see at the bottom, I just kind of picked it up. I made up that, by the way. The very bottom, Pekah Pekah Haya goes up, Menahim. Right? So I just made up some names. Right? I was like, I really didn't want that name. But what do you notice about the nations of Israel? They're all bad. Bad, 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 extra bad, 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 mostly bad. Not good, but better. It's not good. Somewhat. I mean, it's not. You know, can you imagine? My grandfather was the worst of all those kings. Oh. That was Judah any better? So we look in the nation of Israel. Now we look at the kings of Judah. Rehoboam. I didn't have enough space, so it goes from left and then to right. Rehoboam's first. Abijah, Manasseh, Jehoshaphat, Aram, Ahijah. Right? You always get difficult. And then you go back up to the top, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Amon. And here's where Josiah is. He's the best. With Hezekiah, who's the best. This is what they call the best. I find something about Josiah to be a little better than Hezekiah. And the scriptures will show this. It won't say Josiah is better than Hezekiah. But if you look contextually, there's something about Josiah that I really liked. And plus, it'd sound really nice, Hezekiah, Josiah. I like Josiah. I like that name. There's a meaning to it. There's other good kings there. Asa, Joash, good kings. They're mostly good. Uzziah. So as we look at this, the southern part seems to be okay. So what is it about Josiah? A couple simple things. Josiah is a godly king and leader. First of all, he gathered and rallied the people. So let's turn to our Bible real quick, if we can. 2 Kings, and let's do a reading. Do a bulk reading. Follow with me. I'm going to skip verses here and there. Chapter 23 of 2 Kings, verse 1, 5 or so. We know who he is. We know he's a good king, and this is what he does. He just found in the temple God's Mosaic laws. Honoring it. Can we go back a little bit? Back as we see the kings, Hezekiah has a son, Manasseh. He has a son who's the worst. And Amon, he's also the worst, pairing with all these other people. So between Josiah and Hezekiah, there's some really bad stuff going on. Josiah is changing this up. And if you see the little picture I had before, one of the key things that most of all these gods change is to remove idols that are not from God. Moving. Lester said, removing that sin. Let's read. Then the king sent, and they gathered to him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. The king went up to the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and the priests and the prophets and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their hearing all the words of the book found in the house of the Lord. The king stood by the pillar and made a covenant before the Lord. Walk after the Lord, keep his commandments, his testimonies, and his statutes with all his heart, all his soul. Carry out the words of this covenant that were written in the book. And all the people entered into it. Then the king commanded Hilkiah, the high priest, and the priests of the second order of the king, out the temple of all the vessels that were made of Baal, Asherah, for all the host of heaven, burn them outside of Jerusalem, fields of Kidron, and carry their ashes. He did away with the idolatrous priest, whom the king of Judah had appointed to burn incense in the high places, the cities of Judah, and in the surrounding area of Jerusalem, also those who burn incense of Baal, and to the sun and to the moon and the constellations and to all the hosts of heaven, he brought out the Asherah to the house of the Lord outside Jerusalem to the brook of Kidron, at the brook, and grounded it to dust, threw its dust on the graves of the common people. He also broke down the houses of the male cult prostitutes, the house of the Lord. Women were weaving, hanging of Asherah. Then he brought all the priests from the cities of Judah, defiled the high places where the priests had burned incense, Geba, Sheba, broke down the high places. The governor of the city, which were ones left at the city gate. Stop right here. Then the king commanded all the people, saying, celebrate the Passover to the Lord your God, as is written in the covenant. Surely such a Passover had not been celebrated from the days of Judge Israel, from all the days and all of the kings. In the 18th year, Messiah suffered as well. Four things that we could definitely learn through this passage. They're wonderful things. Again, as I said a little while ago, the first thing, Messiah is a godly king. He's not the king of kings. But we got to keep remembering Moses, Joshua, and all these other leaders, that the primary king that they were focusing on was God. God was their primary king. There's something about Josiah where he respects this, just like Hezekiah, David. There's something else about Josiah that he does. I'll do that as the last one. Help us enlighten us, opening our eyes. So what's the first thing is he gathered and rallied the people of Israel. In verse 1 and verse 2. Then the king called together all the elders of Judah, went up to the temple of the Lord with the people, prophets, and all the people. Great things about leaders. Coach them. Not coerce them. Coach them. Rally them. We have a wonderful time today. Ryan Bornaga is our quarterback. Football, and to me, it's not about that one football game we play in the world, but it's about the journey we get to that point. How much better did they get? And I like rallying them. I like encouraging Ryan and Melanie and all the other girls who are in part of this team. We may not be the best in doing it, get better, and we're pretty good. Really good, actually. But the opportunity to rally them, to encourage them, is a wonderful journey. And as leaders, as pastors, we want to encourage you, we want to rally you, focusing on God. And just like yesterday, as the science group, the men's group, we want to rally our fathers, great godly men and leaders that have household, as Christ is the head of the church, family, training them and rallying them to be great fathers. Not on their own perceptions, not on their own basis, but on God's foundation. We meet, there's a wonderful group of men that do that. And this is what Josiah is doing. King Josiah is doing. He's encouraging men. He's encouraging women. He's encouraging all the people he's under, to rule under, if you may, rally them, to gather them and rally them. That's one thing. Now, I could gather the football team, and I can teach them about integrated physics and science, and rally them towards oxidation numbers, about science and math. But that's not what I'm doing. My intention is to rally them and encourage them into God's love. Amen? The second thing King Josiah does, of course, if you look at it, is he reads the entire Mosaic Law. 2b, verse 2b, chapter 23. He says, he read in their hearing all the words of the book of the covenant, which had been found in the temple of the Lord. He read in the hearing all the words of the book of the covenant. And the covenant we're referring to here, I don't know about you. Difficult. I think women, it's a stereotype. But in an early age, if I understand correctly, and I know a lot of psychological book, I like that stuff. Women tend to be a little bit faster and smarter. You all wonder. Women tend to be a little better readers than boys. The women are sitting down, you know. Against them. And then the other boys are running around and pulling each other's hair and laughing. When we see this, we ask ourselves, what's going on? It's tough to just sit and read. Women love to read. Sometimes reading the Bible is boring. It's boring. It's not easy. Pekahiah. What's all the name? What are you talking about? He sits and reads. In the book of Ezekiel, they come up, they all stand up, and they read the whole thing. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, in one standing. What about you? Let's try. Let's see how far we can get. Start to read. Read the whole thing. Somebody's going to complain. Maybe next week someone's going to say, hey, Pastor. It's at 6 p.m. He's a slow reader. It's tough. Here, he reads the whole thing. The third thing he does, and most of the things, is that he removes idols. This is what all the other kings are doing. Josiah is still doing. Now remember, who's the king? His great-grandfather? King Hezekiah. And then his son was Manasseh. And then his son was Amon. Amon and Manasseh were what? Good or bad? Then you have Josiah. So now, Josiah is like, my dad, he doesn't work. I'm not being heresy. Say we don't have the cross over there. We have this big old wooden woman over there. The Asherah. Goddess of Asherah. What are y'all talking about? Well, my dad had it. Pastor D, what's that? Do that. His grandfather had a. So what does King Josiah do? It's like, I am removing that. Removing that idol. That's not from God. We ask ourselves, what are our idols? We don't have statues in our houses, maybe. We sure do idol things, do we not? I idol a lot of things. That's my, I'm saying his name either. Bill Barger, my father-in-law said, I don't want to. There's times where, not that he was idling anything, but we take things, and we don't even know this, but we idle objects. We idol ourselves. We say, hey, look, I don't serve. Sometimes we've got to be real careful. So the idols are not going to be Asherah poles. We haven't figured out yet. We're a different nation than the rest of the nations, are we not? We could be called United States of America, because that's our last name. We could be called today, we should change our name to United States of Consumerism. Because we're a nation that consumes more than anybody else. Preached this before, we have more garbage. We throw away more garbage than anyone in all the world. We consume more than what we have. 5% of the population. 5 or 35% materialistic thing. Huge. A lot of idols. Here's what he does. He removes. In verse 4, he removes idols of gods. The king ordered Hilkiah, the high priest, the Lord of Baal. Baal is in Turkey. And Asherah is a goddess, female goddess. So he removes that. And then in verse 19, he kind of moved down. Josiah removed all the shrines. Are you familiar with shrines? It's a little section devoted to, let's say, a god. Maybe you have a person over there, like an ancestor, or a hero, or a martyr, or some sort of person, a saint. You know, those are shrines. See this today? You know, restaurants, you know, shrines. Maybe off of Bel Air or something, you'll see some shrines devoted to somebody's picture. I don't want that, God said. I don't want that stuff. Don't go over there and start tearing it up. I'm here to eat, and I'm going to tear that up. Phew. Well, it says, and my pastor told me, I did it. And he also removes male shrine prostitutes. Look in verse 10. He removed the Canaanite gods, Topheth. And Topheth, if you understand him, he would take little babies alive and burn them. They were worshiping that. They were using it. Verse 5, removed and killed idolatrous priests. He didn't just remove the priest. He would kill them and remove them. He slaughtered priests. You know what God said? Now, we always had the God of love. But God also a God of justice and wrath. Amen. Just God. You're going to deserve what you're going to get what you deserve. Every single one of us is going to get what we deserve. Without the blood of Christ. Finally, in verse 24, mediums and spiritism. These are another things that today we talk about them, Ouija boards. Don't mess with those things. Don't come in contact with them. Don't, when you're driving and you see palm reading stuff, don't stop, don't look, don't think of it. Don't even cater to those ideas. Specifically, in Leviticus, it says, don't mess with the mediums and spiritists. Is that a real thing? You guys know my theology and where I stand. Guys? But something happens when they die. I'm in my particular opinion, I'm not sure if they go to heaven right away. Even Samuel, the good guy, remember him? Up to him and says, Samuel has passed away, remember? Saul goes, let me raise the dead. Raise Samuel. He got in trouble because he's mediums and spiritism. What he's saying is, your soul, your spirit, your inner man, it's not your physical flesh, your soul, your intellect, psyche. Her spirit is something out of the ordinary. But it goes somewhere. I'm not theologically telling you where it's going. I don't know where it goes, but it goes somewhere, and it could be raised from the dead. Don't mess with it. Bottom line, I don't care what your theology is. Don't mess with it. Don't talk to it. Don't talk to dead spirits. It doesn't matter if they're good or bad. Saul got in trouble from it. Don't mess with the spiritual realm. I'm telling you, Pastor D preached about the chariots of fire. I'm telling you right now, I preached about it yesterday. You don't realize this, I'm getting this. There are spiritual realms right around you right now. It's real. To pray to the one and only Spirit, Holy Spirit. As Paul says, Holy Spirit, strengthen my inner spirit, my inner. Well, there's others. That's what we should be doing. That's pretty simple. So we move on. Here is where Josiah differs than all the other kings. Ace. Now, you can remove idols. What are you going to replace it with? I can remove TV. I can remove violence and pornography and lustful thoughts. TV. I'll throw away my TV. I'll unsubscribe to cable. But I'll do it. I could throw away my internet. I could break my computer. But remove it. So you're removing all these idols, but what are you replacing it with? You can replace it now with the iPhone. The iPhone. Same thing. It's the same thing as the internet, same thing as TV. Somebody's come after me. Don't bring my iPhone. It took me a long time to get this thing. Long time. It's still not working. It's still unlocked. Huh? So we can remove the iPhone, we can remove all those things, we can remove all the anger, all the violence and all that stuff, and then all of a sudden, well, I'm going to go work out in the gym. 8 hours in the gym. Well, you don't want me to work out? Fine, I'll just go play some sports. See, we're removing things, but what are we replacing it with? Question is, remove the bad things. Place it with the godly things, amen? That's the power, right? That's what Josiah did that his great-grandfather didn't do. He removed the idols, replaced it with the godly things. What did he replace it with? He replaced it with Passover, as it says in there. He replaced it with making the people sign a covenant, a promise. Guilty things in the church. Good thing. Don't get me wrong now. I love what we're doing. We're replacing a lot of different programs, and that's good. Not replacing. We're saturating you guys with a lot of things. Fighting the battle. Work. A lot of things to be. Worship. We have this. Discipleship. We're doing Bible studies and Sunday school. Good things. Fellowship is when we eat. That's getting together. Ministry is when working, like going to Thanksgiving and helping people and feeding people. That's work. Evangelism is spreading the gospel. It's all good things. That's what we should be doing. But don't do it just because you're supposed to do it. Do it because you want to do it. Don't do it because you have to do it. Do it because you want to do it. Remove all the bad things, but replace it with the good things which you really want to make a covenant or promise with you. You can worship. We can worship here quietly in solitude. I'm sorry. Miley fell. Doc, better than I am. There's nothing I can do over there. That's what I said. I'm going to praise you, Lord. Thank you. Even in the midst of this craziness, thank you, Lord. Now you know what's going on. You can raise the dead. You can do all kinds of stuff. Praise you, Lord. Praise you. Amen. This is a wonderful thing. We can do it through solitude. We can do it through prayer. We can do it quiet times. These are great things that we need to replace. The Bible is a good replacement. How about that one? Ever do that one? Not because of devotion time, but because you want to. You ever read the Bible because you want to? Not because you have to? Right? Sometimes devotion is a checkoff list, right? Did it? I do. That's good. You can replace it with dancing for the Lord. You ever dance for the Lord? Not dance for people, but dance for the Lord. Oh, man, I tell you, I see people dance. Woo, wow. Goosebumps. They're just flowing. Like, these are people what we call artistic people. They're just dancing. King David, didn't he dance naked? Now, he danced naked. Now, I'm not telling him to go dance naked. What I'm trying to tell you is he danced naked because he was uninhibited. Don't dance naked. Dance uninhibited. Don't worry about what people are thinking. Just praise you. Praise you. You go to some churches, amen. You know, just uninhibited. That's right. Don't be saying amen every 5 seconds, because then I'll be like, man, that's confusing. I'm trying to focus here, and you keep yelling at me. But uninhibited, uninhibited. You remove things, place it with God. Lord, grace Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We are just so blessed. May we have this fervent heart, this passionate heart to know you, love you, to praise you. May we understand that our soul seeks for you as the deer pants. So shall our soul seek after you. As the band comes up here and as I pray, I want to challenge you uninhibitedly, if you wish. If that's fine. To stand up and sing and dance. Pray, come up to the altar and say, Lord, I need some help. Read your passage. Pray right now. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you. We hear this song, Hosanna. Hosanna means Yeshua, Jesus Christ, saves. You only hear it one time in the New Testament. I really believe, I can't, I'm pretty sure, in the book of Revelation. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Salvation. Salvation in the highest. So, Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we honor you, we do. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. If you want to come up uninhibitedly, if you haven't accepted Christ ever, if you don't even know what that means, pull up here who will help you understand what the cross means. If you want to rededicate your life, if you just want to pour out your heart to somebody, if you want to just dance uninhibitedly,
see His love and mercy washing over all our sin. The people sing, sing Hosanna, 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 Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. I see a generation rising up to take their place with selfless faith, selfless faith. I see a near revival stirring as we pray and seek. We're on our knees, we're on our knees. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Heart and make it clean, and open up my eyes to the things unseen. Show me how to love like You have loved me. And break my heart from what breaks Yours. Everything I am for Your kingdom's cause. And as I walk from earth into eternity, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. 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 Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest.
Amen. Lord, grace and Father, we see Your glory coming in the clouds of fire, we do. And when that whole earth shakes, oh, Lord, praise You, Lord. Lord, thank You so much for reminding us through music, through being able to love and to dance, that You are Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Break my heart what breaks Yours, Lord, for the hurting people. Help us, help them, Lord, to come to You. We praise You. We love You, Lord, and may we continue to worship. Even as we stand, or as we sit, or as we close our eyes, or as we play music, Lord, may we continue to worship as we walk out of these four walls. Lord, thank you. Thank you. May we see this generation rising up to take a place with selflessness, of selfless faith. May we see, as your song says here, a revival. May we see your revival come, Lord Heavenly Father. As your word promises, in the last days, your spirit will pour out on all your people. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. In your wonderful, blessed, everlasting name, all God's people say, amen.